Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Crooked Steel is a breakout string band with a sound that's hard to pin down. Here's Tell Her to Come Back Home from their new CD, Still Crooked.
Just last Monday morning, my Tony said goodbye. When we got married, got her everything she need. She got so awful beating, wanted everything she seed. Oh, my love.
It's mountain music from an old-time era, polished with percussive banjo beats and an ethereal voice. They play bluegrass and folk, pop and blues, maybe even jazz. This hour On Point, Crooked Still joins us in the studio.
Hillsides lined with ginger cake, my donut's sweetest candy. If you'd rather be home, I don't rather roam. If you see my donut, tell her I'm.
Joining me now in studio are members of Crooked Still. It's a band the Boston Globe calls the most important folk group to emerge from Boston since the early 60s. Aoife O'Donovan is with us. She's the lead singer and founding member of the band. Aoife, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having us, Jane.
Greg List is with us. He's the banjo player and the founding member of Crooked Still. He's toured with Bruce Springsteen's Seeger Sessions Band, and he's also with us today. Nice to have you.
It's great to be here.
And also is Brittany Haas. She's with us. She's fiddler for Crooked Still. She joined the band at the end of 2007, and she's entering her senior year at Princeton University. Brittany, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Two other band members are not here today, I should say. Corey DeMario is the double bass player and also a founding member, and Tristan Claridge is the cellist. I'm not sure there's room for them in here. We're nice and cozy, all these instruments. Great to have you. Start us out telling us, where does the name Crooked Still come from?
Well, we came up with the name Crooked Still in 2001 when we started the band here in Boston. And we were just trying to look for a name that would somehow evoke an image relevant to what we play. And we kind of came up with a whiskey still and one that's a little bit off kilter. But we left the possibility open for multiple interpretations so people can give us the benefit of the doubt and not assume that we're referring to a whiskey still.
I see. So you've got a cello, double bass, a fiddle, a banjo, singer, sometimes a guitar. What are the challenges of playing with such an unusual ensemble?
Well, the main challenge is just keeping the rhythm going all the time because we don't have a guitar and we don't have drums. I mean, we almost never have a guitar. Sometimes Aoife will pick one up. Aoife is actually a
great
guitar player.
Although it's sitting right here in front of me.
It is, it is. I play.
That's an illusion. That's an optical illusion.
I think that when I play the guitar, I play mostly in a very quiet finger style way, which doesn't necessarily contribute to what Greg's talking about with keeping the heavy rhythm going all the time. But I think Crooked Still is sort of always been founded on being a very rhythmical band without drums and without your sort of traditional rhythmical instruments kind of holding that down. So we've explored new ways to make those beats happen, sort of with the cello chopping and the fiddle chopping and the Greg's crazy rhythmical banjo playing. And our bass player, Corey, is just a total metronome back there on the double bass.
A groove bass band without a drummer. New ways to find that rhythm. Tell me about some of those ways. Brittany, you're on the fiddle over there. You got two
yeah.
of them today.
I do. One of them I used from cross-tuning. But yeah, I definitely get to play a lot of rhythm in this band, which is really fun. We get to sort of pass around the role of the drums. So,
yeah, Brittany's at the forefront of a nice fiddle movement that's really sweeping the nation. It's sort of spread through fiddle camps all over the country, and there are all these really young players who can play the fiddle in a super rhythmical style that's referred to as chopping sometimes. It's very catchy. People kind of can't get enough when they hear it.
So you're a real blended musical family, if you will, right? Part hip-hop, part jazz. I mean, you never know what's going to come out of you
guys. Hip-hop might be a stretch.
Yeah, that's a bit of
there
a stretch.
There is that bit of an influence, though, isn't there? I mean, it influences you personally, I guess, with your music.
Yeah, you know, Crooked Still has always tried to take other influences and assimilate them, but filter them through our personalities. We're not really trying to have, you know, hip-hop drum beats co-mingling with the banjo, but we do kind of play those things and allude to them in an imaginary fashion just in the way we play. Because if you grow up and just, you know, if you grow up listening to the kind of music that people grow up listening to, you can't really avoid having influences as diverse as hip-hop and jazz and hard rock and heavy metal even. Who knows? So we assimilate those things. We try to stay true to the acoustic tradition.
I think that these days, sort of with the sort of young string band movement, there are a lot of bands who are sort of taking all those influences that they grew up listening to and applying them to this old traditional music.
Let's not wait any longer. I want to hear your first song.
Okay.
Would you play? Tell us what it is first. Set it up.
We're going to do a song by the great Ola Bell Reed, who is this totally amazing singer and songwriter and banjo player from the state of Maryland. And this song is called Undone in Sorrow.
How do you arrange the pieces, the music that you play?
Well, in the beginning, when we started out, we played a lot more sort of standards from the bluegrass repertoire. And when we'd arrange them, we would just sort of come at them in an organic way. Each person maybe bringing some kind of idea, maybe for a riff or a rhythmical idea, or for maybe a couple of added chords, or maybe take a couple of chords away. Just anything that would sort of define the song and bring out the spirit. We're one of those bands that's kind of trying to stay true to the spirit of the music while not necessarily staying true to the exact way that it was played in the past. Because I think sometimes in order for these songs to stay alive spiritually, they have to be recontextualized just a little bit, you know?
That's so interesting when you say true to the spirit of the music, not the way they've been played in the past. Is that how you feel about it, Aoife?
That's exactly how I feel about it. I think the song that we just played is a really great example of that, where the original recording of that, or the version that we learned it from, Ola Bell, is playing the banjo and singing it. And when we sort of sat down with this song, Greg almost exactly recreated her banjo part, you know, in his own way, but played a very similar banjo riff.
Yeah, I just modernized it very, very slightly because it's just harder to convey the meaning of the song to people if you're playing it in a style that sounds too old-fashioned. But so we're trying to walk this fine line of traditionalism and neo-traditionalism.
Exactly, and so by putting the neo-traditionalism into that song, the arrangement sort of progressed and we added some different chords and we added the sort of rhythmical string patterns and we added that sort of kind of riff-based solo that Brittany takes and just kind of wails on, and it's so gorgeous.
I love that. What were you doing over there, Brittany? As a violinist, I could sort of see, I hadn't seen that quite the way you did that before, plucking the instrument. Was it with your bow?
Yeah, that's the technique that Greg was talking about before, chopping. Yeah. It's kind of created by Daryl Anger. Yeah.
So you guys record this, your album, much in the same way you played it live in this room. Everybody's playing together, right?
Yeah, it's a really nice way of recording acoustic music, especially string band music like we play. It's nice to get everybody together in the same room so we can all sort of see each other and roughly approximate the experience of playing music acoustically, which is what we do for fun. And that's really what we're good at, you know, playing through microphones and jumping around on stage and stuff. That's only what we do for a living. In our spare time, we actually just sit in the living room right next to each other and play the exact same music.
Exactly.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're talking with the new hit bluegrass band Crooked Still. Here's Ain't No Grave from their 2006 album, Shaken by a Low Sound. Of how you guys got together here in Boston. Such an interesting story.
It is. We got together back in 2001. We were sort of all friends in the Boston music scene. Our former cello player, Rushad Eggleston, and Greg List were great pals. They used to jam all the time at Greg's lab over at MIT. Is that right, Greg?
Right, yeah. I was in graduate school at the time studying molecular biology.
Yeah, you have a PhD in molecular biology.
Brittany's
from
on
MIT.
Her way.
God, that's right. Yeah, Brittany's at Princeton.
I'm always joking that as part of Brittany's hazing process for just having joined the band, she has to now get a PhD in evolutionary biology.
It's going to take me a while.
But yeah, it turns out in the field of biology, there's quite a bit of downtime waiting for experiments to take place and reactions to occur. So I would always call up my little buddy, Rashad, and he would come over and we would jam in the lobby of the biology building at MIT. There are probably some MIT biologists listening right now. This used to be a pretty popular show in the lab, and this is probably demystifying the source of the banjo music for all those years. It was me.
Let me ask you about, you mentioned Rashad Eggleston. What about the departure of that very charismatic cellist from your group? He really made the cello sound so integral to your sound, defined your sound in that way. What was it like when he left?
Well, he defined not only our sound, but he defined a sort of a whole generation of cello players around the country and around the world. I mean, Rashad sort of took the fiddle chop, you know, from Daryl Anger and from Casey Dreesen, and he came to Berkeley back in 1999 and totally changed the way people were playing the cello. I mean, there have been people in the past to do slightly similar things, but he's definitely the guy who sort of put it to the cello and then kind of immediately passed it on to other people like Brittany's sister, Natalie Haas, who has, you know, kind of gone on to take it into a totally new direction in Scottish music. But I think that with Rashad's departure, it's just sort of, you know, there were people ready and people waiting to kind of come in, and we're really excited about the new direction the band's taking.
Did it force you to sort of amend your ensemble?
Yeah, actually, I consider us more of an ensemble now as opposed to a sort of group of individuals. Mm-hmm. We've really gelled into something really nice now. And a lot of it has to do with just the huge impact that Rashad had on the whole folk music scene. It's amazing. I mean, his influence over cellists is pretty much as great as like Bela Fleck's influence over banjo players or Mark O'Connor's influence over fiddle players. I mean, it's really tremendous. And it's kind of an amazing feature of today's society and the internet-based sort of spread of these kinds of music that somebody can be so influential without being at all really a household name or even all that famous.
That's so interesting.
Because all of the kids just found him, and he taught a lot of fiddle camps. So when he decided that he was going to move to L.A. and play rock music, there was plenty of there were plenty of people in the folk scene who could sort of take his place, and we found the two best.
Exactly.
Well, you're here. I want you to play for us again and set up this next song that you're going to sing and play for us.
Okay. This is a song that's called When First Unto This Country. It's about emigrating to the United States. One, two, three.
Into this country, a stranger I came. I couldn't fear me, Nancy was your name. I couldn't have for love, for love I did not tame. Do you think of any reason I'm about to complain? I won't see my Nancy.
Tapping in the hallway out here, I'll tell you. Let me ask you each about your individual contributions to the band. Ifo Adonovan, you are an acclaimed vocalist. USA Today called you America's newest darling. You've been on stage from, everywhere. The Shetland Islands, Yosemite National Park, overseas, in this country, big events, small ones. What's this ride been like for you?
It's been amazing. I mean, I grew up here in Boston, and I have been really involved in sort of the Irish music scene here in Boston for my whole life. My dad, Brian, has a show over on WGBH, and I kind of grew up surrounded by all kinds of traditional music, a lot of Irish music, and as I kind of grew older, a lot of American music. And when I was in high school, I just decided I really wanted to go to music school and be a performer, and it ended up working out really well. When I was 18, I met Matt Glazer, an amazing fiddle player and educator at Berkeley, and he invited me to come sing with his band, the Wayfaring Strangers, at the Philadelphia Folk Festival. And I was 18 years old, and this is sort of my first real gig. And I showed up, and it's on stage with Jennifer Kimball, who is one of my heroes, you know, kind of from the age of 13 to still is one of my heroes, Tony Trischka, all these people. And that sort of that first experience being on the main stage at the Philly Folk Festival back then was really like, okay, I want to do this. This is awesome.
And from there, it never stopped. The stardom started very quickly. Brittany, let me turn to you. You are the most talked about young fiddler around. Tell us how you started. Your great-grandmother was a fiddler, no?
Great-grandfather. I think actually maybe great-great, somewhere far back in Missouri. But yeah, I do have it in my blood, I guess, a little bit.
And
anyways.
You took up the violin when you were five?
Yep. I did. I started playing Suzuki violin, classical stuff, and then I just kind of really got into the whole scene. I heard some bluegrass, and I got really into it, and then I heard old time, and I fell in love with that as well. I met Bruce Molsky, who's a big hero of mine, and Daryl Anger, who I got to start playing with a number of years ago, and that was just amazing. And then, I mean, Crooked Still has been great, because I was a fan even before I was in the band, so it's been really cool. Mm.
And Greg List, you played the banjo. You played in a very innovative way. Tell us about this four-finger technique that sort of follows you.
Well, the common way of playing a bluegrass-style banjo is to pluck the instrument with three fingers, you know, your thumb and your index finger and your middle finger. And at a certain point, I decided it would make quite a bit of sense if you could pluck the instrument with four fingers. And there's probably some 14-year-old kid out there in Kentucky who's figuring out how to do it with five fingers. But at least for a minute, my style might have been considered innovative. I don't know. Yeah, it turns out the fourth finger works pretty well for a lot of different types of playing, and it makes some tricky things a lot more natural and allows you to relax, so you can sort of just relax your mind while you're playing the banjo and not worry about extremely difficult, complicated finger patterns. It's funny, it seems like it would complicate the operation, but it actually simplifies things.
Yeah, I see your fingers there. There's a, what, pick on each one?
Yes, so there's a finger pick on each one of these four fingers, and then the pinky just sort of sits there on the drum head of the banjo, looking pretty and anchoring the whole operation.
Let's get to some calls. Lots of folks are interested to speak with you. David is first up from Portland, Tennessee. Hi, David.
Hello, Jane. Hello, Crooked Still.
How are you?
Hello.
I was lucky enough to get a photo assignment to shoot them at a show they did in Nashville, and I didn't really know anything about the band. And it's just a bit of background on me. My father was on the Grand Ole Opry as a performer, so I grew up backstage at the Ryman, and I'm 64. Hmm. So I was around for the first time around for this sort of music. Hmm. And it is just a thrill to see them create their stage presence, their performance level, and the additions to an art form that they're making. Mm. So there's one old guy out there that really gets it, kid.
Wow, thanks.
Every minute of what you folks did.
Thank you so much.
Very nice, David. Thanks for the call. Let's, before we go to break, play another song, would you, for us?
Okay.
Set it up.
We will. We're going to play a beautiful song that we learned from the singing of a woman named Rebecca King-Jones. It's a very old song, but its meaning is very current today. It's about a woman whose loved one is lost at war, and it's called Captain, Captain. Captain, Captain, tell me true, does my sweet Willie sail with you? No, my dear, he isn't here. He's drowned in this ocean, dear. Thank you.
searching for my Willie D. For he is drowned in this ocean.
Those are lyrics that tell the story of a wife who's awaiting news of her husband away at war, huh?
Begging to know.
Greg, is it true you toured with Bruce Springsteen last year?
It's absolutely true. Well, the only part that's not true is that it was actually in 2006, and it was on his Seeger Sessions Band tour.
So how'd that happen? How in the world did you meet Bruce Springsteen?
It seems impossibly lucky, and I guess to some extent it was. I had been in graduate school at MIT, and I had just finished and had been sort of playing banjo full-time for about 4 months when I got a call from a percussionist friend, this terrific percussionist named Larry Eagle. He and I had met in the Boston-New York jazz bluegrass fusion band, the Wayfaring Strangers. And Larry has his own crazy story about how he got involved with playing with Bruce Springsteen. But anyway, Bruce Springsteen had been working on this folk project with a large acoustic band and was about to go on the road with it to do some live performances and was looking for a banjo player. Mm. And Larry Eagle happened to be in the band and also happened to know me, and I happened not to be in graduate school anymore and was free. So I got a call one day from Larry, who told me all about this performance opportunity without telling me that it was actually Bruce Springsteen who was the artist leading the project. And I remember thinking to myself, as he described this enormous folk band, you know, oh gosh, I'm kind of busy. Am I really going to be able to do this? And I said, Larry, hold on a second. How much time is this going to take? And he said, well, before we discuss details like that, I should mention that the artist leading this project is Bruce Springsteen. And I dropped the telephone on the floor. That actually happened.
So has anything changed in your playing since performing with the Boss?
I think a lot has changed in my playing.
Definitely.
I seem to have simplified what I do, because he's got this really terrific aesthetic that's no more complicated than it needs to be. And I just sees things in a really clear fashion. So people often ask me, you know, what kind of guy is Bruce Springsteen? And I'm really pleased to report that you can believe the hype. He's absolutely the most terrific person you could possibly meet, and everything you would expect and more. And so he just sort of inspired me to really go for this full time. Also, he's inspired me to really own up to being a folk musician. Because if folk music is good enough for Bruce Springsteen, it's more than good enough for me.
Three very talented musicians are with us in the studio here playing for us. Aoife O'Donovan, Greg List, and Brittany Hawes are members of the band Crooked Still. I promise we get to the calls. Let's go right to them here coming out of the break. Ed is in North Andover, Massachusetts. Hi, Ed. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I just wanted to comment on, I've been a big Crooked Still fan for a long, long time. And, people at work are always surprised when we discuss, you know, how we're setting up iTunes and everything so our kids and have separate music. In my case, that never happened, since Crooked Still just has such a huge, and you know, these kind of string bands in general just have such a huge intergenerational appeal.
Mm. That's,
and I find that's not only true in listening, it's true in playing as well.
Mm. Absolutely.
Great. Thanks for your call, Ed. Do you see that at your concerts and with those who come to
Oh, definitely. Hear
you, the moms and the kids?
Exactly. And it's funny, the other night we were playing in Asheville, and this woman came up to us, and she was with her maybe 21-year-old daughter, and she said, "It's amazing, I'm here, and I love you guys, and my daughter loves you guys, and it's so cool, we can go out together."
Yeah, one of my favorite things about being in folk music is that in folk music there seem to be very few boundaries. There's no boundary that really separates the fans, the listeners, from the bands. And there's also no boundary that really separates the younger generations of players from the older generation of players. Likewise, there's no boundary separating the younger generation of listeners from the older generation of listeners. There are no boundaries. Definitely. That's my point.
Do you think there's a resurgence of younger audiences that really love this kind of music? Brittany, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Seems like that's been happening a lot lately. And in terms of the musicians playing it, too, there's lots of young folks coming up that are really amazing. It's really cool.
Let's go to another call now in Sauber, Virginia. Rowena is on the line. Nice to have you with us. Welcome.
I'm calling from the beautiful foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
We were just there.
Nelson County, Virginia. It's interesting to hear you describe yourselves as bluegrass, because what I hear every bit as much is old time, and then the Irish and Scottish. And could you just talk a little bit about, I know about this, but I'd like to be educated some more about the Irish and the Scottish coming to the Appalachian Hills, and that turning into old-time music and then bluegrass, and how you see yourselves at the end of this this wonderful long line of
great
the
call.
Musicians.
Yeah, that's Rowena, thank you.
That's such an interesting question. I think for us, and for, it's funny, Greg is from Virginia and I'm from Boston, but my father is from Ireland. So there was, you know, obviously all these people emigrating from Ireland and Scotland to the Appalachian Mountains and bringing these tunes with them and playing them in the mountains. And sort of how I kind of interpret it is the music, when you listen to Irish music and Irish traditional music, a lot of times it has sort of a darker quality, a more sort of longing quality to it. Then a lot of the old-time tunes kind of, I think, maybe got a little bit happier, it seems like to me. Would you agree with that, Brittany?
Yeah, definitely. And there's also the whole African influence that came in, like with the banjos and all the polyrhythms and stuff, which is like definitely a big part of old time.
Exactly.
And our grooves, too, I'd say.
Completely. And also our grooves sort of come a lot from then what Bill Monroe did and Jimmy Martin, people like that, taking the old time music and fusing it with blues and kind of music of that generation. You know, Crooked Still is sort of trying to bring in all these influences to our sound.
You know, we fit into this tradition, you know, hundreds of years after the fact, you know, hundreds of years after these songs started coming over from the old world. And we can still see similarities between fiddle tunes that we play, you know, in the world of bluegrass and old time, and fiddle tunes that our friends play who play Celtic music. And there's been a lot of cross influence. For example, the banjo is pretty prominent in Irish music. But it didn't start out in Ireland. It actually, the tenor banjo came from the United States and went back over there. And also sort of the common guitar styles that are used to back up Irish music these days, sort of the more cutting edge things, have a lot of American guitar influence thrown in there. So we're fitting into this tradition at a time when the influences are going both ways, every which way. Just everything
exactly.
is just kind of blending together.
Mm. Here's another call from Somerville, Massachusetts. Daniel is on the line. Hi, Daniel.
Hi there.
Hi. Go ahead, you're on the
Daniel
line.
Daniel Gewurz, the music writer of
hey,
Boston
Dan.
Herald.
Aha.
Hello.
And I, one of my favorite groups is Crooked Still, been writing about them for years and years, ever since I was a child, actually. No. And I think it's a really nice, and even more than nice, a canny move to keep with the traditional material, and even tell who you learn the song from, which is kind of the old-fashioned way of doing it. And a lot of traditional groups have become sort of seduced into writing their own material. Sometimes it works, sometimes it's deadly. So I think it's kind of an egoless move, but also a very smart, professional musical move. And I wondered if you could talk about that.
That's a great question. Daniel, thanks.
I think it should be noted that, and Dan, and you and I have talked about this in interviews before, that while we do try to stick mostly to traditional material, on this new record we do have two originals. But like I've always said, the sort of Crooked Still kind of started based around taking old songs and making them new. And the two originals that we do have on this record, I think, really fit into that. A lot of people have asked me if O Agamemnon, which listeners just heard a little segment of, which was written by Brittany and I put lyrics to it, a lot of people who have heard the record have, you know, commented that they totally thought it was traditional until they looked at the liner notes. And I think that for us to sort of do a couple of songs like that makes sense, you know, fitting into the the rest of our set and the rest of our material.
I like that, the egoless way that you guys work.
Well, yeah, as a folk musician, you have to sort of accept your place as a tiny little drop in this like roaring river of folk music that's going to be going long after you're gone. And I tend to see it from a kind of ecological perspective, such that different kinds of music and different songs are kind of like different species existing in different niches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the niches change with time, so it's up to us to sort of bring these old songs into new niches. And I also feel a pretty good commitment to folk music. Like, it means something to me.
Yes, definitely. Sing again for us, would you, and play?
Yeah, cool.
Set it up.
Here's a song. So we were talking about the origins of the band. I went to New England Conservatory, and back in 2001, my teacher Hank Gasnetsky asked me to put together a group to do a concert in the Keller Room. And I got Greg and Corey and Rashad over, and we worked up this tune. I learned it from Doc Watson. It's called Darling Corey.
Up, darling Corey, tell me what makes you sleep so sound. Them highway robbers are coming, they're ringing around your town. Dig a hole in the meadow, dig a hole in the cold, cold ground. Dig a hole in the meadow, gonna lay darling Corey down. Go away, darling Corey, quit hanging around my bed. Pretty women gonna me distracted. Corn liquor is killing me dead. Dig a hole in the middle. Dig a hole in the cold, cold ground. Dig a hole in the middle. Gonna lay darling Corey down, lay down. Oh, the first time I saw darling Corey, she was standing in the door. She had shoes and stockings, and her hands and her little bare feet on the floor. Oh, the next time I saw my Corey, she was sitting on the banks of the sea. She had a 44 strap around her body and a banjo on her knee. Dig a hole in the middle.
Your very first.
Oh, yeah, it was the first Crooked Still arrangement. Yep.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty bluegrassy.
That's a lot of fast finger work over there, Craig.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you just
had to get it out of my system.
Yeah. You just got off a big summer whirlwind tour. Tell me about it.
Yes, we did. We spent 14 hours in the car yesterday. We were realizing today that we've spent at least 5 hours in the car, probably every day for the past, like, 3 months. But we had an amazing tour. We went all over the world. It started in Denmark in the middle of May and ended in Charleston, West Virginia 2 days ago. And we've played to some incredible crowds, some really memorable experiences, some great festivals kind of all around the world, and just feel so lucky to... We just released a new CD, and it's just gone really well so far.
Tell me about the audiences, how they might differ overseas and here.
Well, the first audiences that we played for this summer were all Danish, so the main way they differed was they speak Danish all the time.
And they sing along with really cute Danish accents, and our Danish crowds are amazing. We've been lucky enough to play at this very huge folk festival in Denmark the past two summers called the Tuner Festival, and so we've kind of have somewhat of a following over in Denmark, and we went from there, went to Scotland where the audiences are wild and rowdy and amazing, and then to Ireland where they're similarly
wild
and rowdy, and then back here in the States to, you know, our friends and families. It's been great.
Let's go to another call on the line now from Boston. Joel. Hi, Joel. Welcome.
Hi, Jane. How are you? And hi, guys. It's Kirk and Stell.
Hello, Joel.
Hello.
I just wanted to comment, as someone who grew up in the age when Wretched Refuse was doing sort of pioneering string band music and Breakfast Special, it's really exciting to see how you guys, as well as Uncle Earl, the Dukes, and the Mammals, and contemporary bands are reinterpreting this great traditional music we have. Years ago, everyone was trying so hard to be authentic, like the New Lost City Ramblers, and it's just really cool to see it being reinvented.
Thanks very much.
Thanks,
yeah,
Joel.
We absolutely fit into this tradition of string band innovators, and we're close friends with a lot of our heroes. Like, you know, actually, Brittany and I just played a show with Tony Trischka, who was in one of the bands that our caller was just referring to. So yeah, we fit into that tradition that has such luminaries as Bela Fleck and Jerry Douglas and all those people, Andy Statman.
Darrell Langer.
Nice. Yeah, it's nice to even be compared to them.
Let's squeeze in another call here from Hugh. He's in Salt Lake City. Hi, Hugh. Welcome.
Hello there, Jane. I first came across Crooked Still about 3 years ago and through their wonderful hip Hop High CD and Look On and Cry, that amazing tune.
Oh,
I just have two short questions. Wondered if they'd ever run into a Colorado acoustic musician, Tim O'Brien, in their travels, and if they're going to be at the Americana Music Festival in Nashville in mid September.
Yes and yes. Tim O'Brien actually sings harmony on one track on our brand new CD. He lended his beautiful voice to Tell Her to Come Back Home. And he's a great hero of all of ours. And we will be doing a showcase at the AMAs in Nashville in September, I think on Thursday at the Station Inn.
Great. Well, I hope to be there and catch you live.
See you there.
Hugh, thank you. So you guys, a lot going on the side, right? A lot of projects that you've got your
sleep
fingers in. He likes to sleep occasionally, but there's a lot going on.
This has been the summer of Crooked Still, but the rest of the year we don't tour quite so continuously, so we all get a chance to work on all sorts of different things.
Such as?
Well, Aoife is about to do something next week that's pretty special.
Yeah, I'm about to make a record with a trio that I have with two other women. Joel was talking about Uncle Earl and the Mammals, and it's Ruth Unger Miranda from the Mammals and Kristen Andreessen of Uncle Earl. We have a trio called Sometimes Why. About to go back into the studio to make a new record, and Greg's got a crazy banjo rap album.
Yeah, I have two projects that are dominating my non-Crooked Still time. One of them is a banjo rap band that's called The Deadly Gentlemen that just released its first album, which is called The Bastard Masterpiece. I hope I can say that on the air.
No, you just did.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, so that's sort of a Woody Guthrie meets Eminem meets Bela Fleck string band kind of project. My other project is actually non-musical. It's a bluegrass gossip magazine and a tabloid-style sort of Onion. I would describe that as it's going to be called the Bluegrass Intelligencer, and it's coming out in a couple of weeks on the internet. But I would describe that as a mix between the Onion, Us Weekly, and Bluegrass Unlimited.
Mm. Brittany, what about you?
Yeah, I play with Tony Trischka, as Greg mentioned before, and also Darrell Langer in his band called the Republic of Strings. And I'm in school, so that's kind of my
back to Princeton for you. Yep. What's your major, by the way?
It's biology, ecology, and evolutionary biology.
Ah. Wonderful. Well, what a treat to have you guys with us today. Aoife O'Donovan, lead singer for Crooked Still, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jane.
Greg List, banjo player for Crooked Still.
Thanks
great
so
to
much.
Have you. And Brittany Haas, fiddler for Crooked Still.
Thank you.
Rounding out the group. Thank you, Brittany.
That's
we'll go
nice.
Out with Florence from Crooked Still's new CD, Still Crooked. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Trump will hear, will press for Canaan's shore.